Mary, would you lead us in the opening prayer?
Sure. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father,
O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
Blessed Master,
Dearest Mother,
Dearest Mother,
Beloved David,
Beloved David,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free
my life from all obstacles.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning
on the throne of my consciousness.
Om. Om. Peace.
Peace.
Bliss.
Bliss.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, welcome for our third session with In Quest of God, the dangerous book that Papa published or was published on Papa's behalf 100 years ago. Chapter 4, Sriram Gaum. The thrill of a new birth, a new life, with the sweet love of Ram was felt. A peace came upon Ram Dass struggling soul. The turmoil ceased. Ram's own hand seemed to have touched the head of his slave. Ram blessed. Oh, tears flow on for the mere joy of a deliverance. Sorrow, pain, anxiety, and care all vanished, never to return. All glory to thee, Ram. The great blessing came from Ram. I take thee under my guidance and protection. Remain ever my devotee. Thy name shall be Ram Dass. Yes, Ram Dass. What a great privilege it is to become the Dass of Ram, who is all love, kindness, all mercy, all forgiveness. Ram is God's name and Dass means slave. That's my insertion. Now he came up to a dharmashala, close to the river, and found some sadhus sitting on the floor of the passage leading out to the main road. They were busy performing Ram Bhajan to the accompaniment of cymbals and aktar. They were singing the glorious name of Ram. Ram Dass also squatted beside the two young sannyasis and placed his lota, procured at Trichy, in front of him to receive bhikshas from the pilgrims who passed that way after their bath. The bhajan of the two young devotees was really very sweet. Time passed most pleasantly. It was about 12 noon that the bhajan came to a close. Looking upon the cloth spread in front of them, the young sadhus observed only 3/4 anna pieces laying on it, all they had got for the day. With a disappointed look, one of them remarked, "Since morning we have been singing the glory of God, and he has given us only this much. Hunger is pinching the stomach. How are we to procure food? Oh God, is thy bhajan from morning till now worth only 9 pies? This question was at once answered by Ram Dass. "No, young brothers, no value can be set upon your bhajan. God is always kind and loving. He never forsakes those who depend upon him. Ram has sent through his humble slave money for your food today." So saying, he dropped into the hands of the sadhus 1 rupee out of the amount he was carrying with him. The poor sadhus simply stared at him in amazement. Their eyes were filled with tears. They exclaimed, O God, thy ways are wonderful. Pardon, pardon. Thy unworthy slaves, we doubted thee and thy love. In future grant that we may never blame thee, but bear all sufferings patiently in thy name. The sadhus then left the place. Looking into his own loda, Ram Dass discovered in it two pies. His heart leapt with joy at the sight of these two tiny coins, the first proceeds of his bhiksha. Buying two small plantains with the coins, he ate them with all pleasure. At this time, in the same line in which he was sitting, there was another sadhu on the right, whilst the young sadhus aforementioned were on his left. Now this sadhu, coming forward, inquired as to where Ram Dass was proceeding. He could not, of course, find a reply to this question. Ram alone could do so. Receiving no reply, the sadhu proposed to take Ram Dass with him to Ramshram, whither he was going. O Ram, thy kindness is indeed very great. To guide thy helpless slave, thou hast sent to him the sadhu. Why? He can be taken to be none other than the Ram himself. From time to time, Ram Dass met sadhus, who not only led him on the pilgrimage, but also took care of him. All these sadhus shall, by God's will, go by one name, Sadhu Ram. And Swami Muktananda's comments on chapter 4. Hari Om to everyone. When we shared our thoughts as prompted by him on 1, 2, and 3 chapters of In Quest of God, we hope everyone would have done some intense mana on it. Chant the divine name with the awareness that he is making us chant. Before we take up the next chapter, we will have Ram Nam, intensely as usual, devotionally charged. Before we chant Ram Nam, let us remember all of us have been asked by Papa to have the proper mental attitude so as to eke out the maximum benefit from the chanting. One of the proper methods is that we should feel that he is making us chant, as we are not habituated to it, chanting with this feeling. He is now offering an opportunity for us to try and chant with this feeling for about 5 minutes. During these 5 minutes of chanting, part of the mind will definitely concentrate on the fact that it is he in the form of life, in the form of awareness, who is prompting from within to express through our mouth the holy and all-powerful Nama. With this background, we will chant. That's your cue, Kate.
Okay. Hari Om.
Hari Om.
5 minutes?
Or when you're done.
Okay. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Om 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 Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. 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 Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Om 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 Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Om 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 Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram.
The first point that Swamiji brings out, under the banner of spirituality, we should not be insensitive to the needs and sufferings of those around us. Normally, when we are involved in a particular line of activity, we may call it sadhana or anything else. While pursuing this sadhana, there's sometimes a tendency to become insensitive to anything that is happening outside. Papa clearly mentions that under the banner of concentration, don't bring that insensitivity in. Sensitivity will be there in our subconsciousness. If it is well rooted, even in a concentrated effort without getting it, the mind disturbed or distracted, we will be able to become sensitive to the suffering of others. Papa was immersed in the bhajan, but when they, the two sadarams, said they felt that with the bhikshas, which they had received, would not be able to meet the food expenses. Immediately, Papa did not think, I am doing the sadhana. I cannot be disturbed. It is a wonderful point. Wherever we are, we should also be sensitive, because you should know God is testing us. You are trying to concentrate on God remembrance. The same God is coming outside in an outer form and testing us. So there is no disconnect. There is a disconnect only when we feel this is separate and that is separate. We don't know how far we have made it. We don't know how far we have made it clear. So there is no question of any disconnect there. So we have to be sensitive. In one of his quotations, you will all remember, Papa said, the world we live in is a school in which observation and experience offer us immense possibilities for self-improvement. Nay, the world itself is guru or God. In one of his quotations, see, observing everything, that means becoming sensitive. So under the banner of spirituality, we are not closing the shutter. Actually, the more we become spiritual, the shutter will always be open, because there is nothing to divide. Everything is God, God, God alone. So sensitivity is important. And then the second point, adherence to self-originated, self-imposed vows and disciplines for the control of the mind. The next point comes to our mind, is that under the banner of spirituality, we may impose so many vows for the control of the mind. It is needed, otherwise we will not be able to control the mind. It will control us as it has been controlling us so far. So let us not follow somebody else's vows and disciplines. Papa teaches us this from his experience, because then only we will be able to go along with the vow. If we feel somebody is doing it, I am going to follow this, finished. I will not be able to hold on to it. Initially, the enthusiasm will be there. Then the equipment will not operate. But here, in the case of self-originated, self-imposed vows and disciplines, the equipment itself, body, mind, intellect complex, is suggesting the vows. So there won't be any conflict. The equipment itself, because of its commitment toward the actualization of the idea, is suggesting the vows. So we'll go along with it. We have to do some manas for this. And this is talking about when God directs us to take some action to deepen our sadhana. Right now at our house, in our little cabin that many of you have seen, Reverend Zach is taking silence and seclusion, and asked on Saturday if he could come up and stay. And when he came, I felt directed to say, well, nobody's using the cabin for the next couple of months. And he said, oh. And then has felt directed each day to stay another day, and really has no idea how long God will have him here. And he's not choosing a timeline. He wasn't expecting to go into silence, but God tapped him on the shoulder and asked it of him. And so that is where he sits. And we often are given these promptings, and it can be something as subtle as to do or not do something. It can be an idea that maybe I should give up coffee, for a little bit, or maybe I should give up television after a certain point. It may be something more dramatic, like becoming vegetarian for a while, or eschewing electronics. But when these prompts come to us, if we listen to them and follow them and make a vow of them, they can be very, very powerful because they're just the right thing at just the right time. We're given things like the Ten Commandments and the Yamas and the Niyamas to guide our path when we aren't attuned. But when God comes to us and asks us specifically to do something or to not do something, when we follow these things, they are powerful beyond compare, and they can be the subtlest thing. But you know how powerful it is when you feel prompted to give it up and the resistance comes so greatly. And if we can push through that resistance, greatness follows, greatness in God. And that's what Papa did when he was finally commanded to take on this particular sadhana office. So number three, self-evaluation to know whether we are content. This is going to have some math in it, I'll just warn you. But just flow with it if numbers don't stick to you. The next point that comes to us from the fourth chapter is that we should evaluate whether contentment is always there. That is a touchstone. And for those who are in master's lessons, this reminded me some of looking for God in all sorts of ways that we've been working with. So just imagine, in those days, 1922, he, Papa, had 9 rupees with him, and he got bhiksha of a quarter anna. He had taken a vow that he would live purely on bhikshas. For a normal person, that would be, for a normal person, what would be the tendency? Suppose we are there, what would we do? We would take 2 or 3 annas from that amount in hand. In those days, that was enough to have a meal. But what did he do? So this is Papa came with the 9 rupees. So that's what Swamiji is talking about. But that day in his begging bowl, his bhikshas were just 2 annas. But what did he do? The way in which he has expressed himself is something we can never forget. When he saw the 2 pies, his heart leapt with joy. Apply your mind to this. A person who had 9 rupees. 1 rupee equals 100 Naya pies, equals 16 annas, equals 64 pice, equals 192 pies. So as this, what was put into his beggar bowl was 192nd of a rupee. And in that loda, 2 pies are there. And besides, he had 9 rupees times 192 pies, which means 1,728 pies. 1,728 pies were with him, but he is aware that after taking sannyas, that is not his now, the 9 rupees that he came with. And so these 2 pies made his heart leap with joy. He did not merely say that he was satisfied. No, no. He said his heart leapt with joy. It is a wonderful point on which we should all deeply dwell. He was able to train his mind to experience contentment and fullness. These are all contributory factors for his speedy spiritual progress, on which we have to keep on thinking. However much we say, it will not help us unless we go through the whole thing. There are 192 pies where there were two pies. 9 times 192 is my cash balance, to be precise. 1728 pies are with him, and still these two pies gave him bliss. Please think about it. There could be so many more points, but these are some that stand out in our memory. And then from David's My Spiritual India. November 30th, Saturday. Seeing the Lord as all kills the ego. God in this form assumes an attitude of ignorance upon arriving at the ashram. I feel myself to be separate from the self as desire nature rises up. Oh, the infinite play of the spirit. With all intensity, I seek to arise from ignorance. Last night, the grace of Swamiji helped me. I meditated at his feet from 8 to 9 p.m. I am told later that no one meditates with him during these hours. Somehow I am allowed. This morning the Gita said, Arjuna, whatsoever being, animate or inanimate, is born. Know it is animated from the union of matter and spirit. He alone sees who sees the Supreme Lord as imperishable and abiding in all perishable beings, both animate and inanimate. For he who kills not himself by himself, by seeing the Supreme Lord equally present in all as one, thereby reaches the supreme state. And he alone sees who sees all actions being performed in every way by Prakriti alone, and the self as the non-doer. With reading this, I came to say I've been seeing myself as the doer. This idea creates the impression I need to make something happen to realize God. Only the vision of the Supreme Lord kills the ego, even as a light turned on eliminates the darkness. I am to become the child, wholly dependent on infinite grace. Desire alone remains to interfere with this. Mataji's grace. I go to Mataji's samadhi and pray, O Universal Divine Mother, absorb me in your vast being. Make me whole without a second. Create in me a desire for you alone. May I see all women as the Divine Mother. Duality has made me separate from you, made me to see you in others, but you are ever residing within me. Awaken me to this truth in body, mind, and soul. At your feet, I ask for your infinite grace. Inner scene after scene of previous temptations parade before my mind. Each temptation, Divine Mother changes so as to reveal her pure, spiritual self, residing in every form I see. Sincere regret comes into my heart for every trespass of mine. O Mother, make my sadhana pure, and for those who look to me for to be the example, may I lead them correctly and not in error. I then read in the Great Swan a paraphrase of Ramakrishna's. The main obstacle to yoga, or conscious union with Satchitananda, are conventional thoughts on the instinctive level, such as I am male or I am female. From these assumptions arise notions such as I need a sexual and emotional partner to fulfill me, the confining structure of wealth, power, and hierarchy then begin to multiply uncontrollably. True yoga becomes possible only when the mind and heart are purified, blissfully emptied of all these habitual assumptions and fantasies. The shining sword revealed, O preserver of the light, you are removing the veils of ignorance that cover the soul, like the removal of layered sheets covering a brilliant brilliantly shining sword. You are setting me free in your spirit. I have assessed my desires, and there is no desire in me other than for you. Tempt me as you might. Cover me with ignorance, and your light will always emerge from every encasement. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. And back to Papa. Chapter 5. Ram Sharam. Ram Mesharam. Sharam. I'm sorry, India. I'll learn these place names sometime. The guide was at once accepted. Ram Das had then with him about 9 rupees, which amount he handed over to the Sadhu Ram and felt much relieved by doing so. To carry money is to carry anxiety with you, for it draws your attention to it now and again. On making over the money, he suggested to the Sadhu Ram to get the rupees changed into 1 anna coins and have them all distributed to the poor who are begging at the doors of temples, and this desire he carried out. Now Ram Das threw himself more completely than ever on the support of Ram with only 2 cloths and a few books, all his possessions in the world. He started with the Sadhu Ram, whom Ram had sent as a guide. He led him to the railway station, and both got into a train running to Ram Sharam. No ticket. Ram was ticket and all. Whilst in the train, Ram Das continued his meditation of Ram. The train traveled on until it reached a station about 6 miles from Ram Sharam. Here a ticket inspector came into the compartment in which Ram Das and his kind guide were seated. After checking the tickets of the other passengers, he approached the sadhus and cried, "Tickets! Tickets!" "No tickets, brother. We are sadhus," was the reply. "Without tickets, you cannot travel any farther. You have to get down here," said the inspector. At once getting up, Ram Das told the Sadhu Ram that it was Ram's wish that they should alight at that place. Walking out of the station, they came to the high road. Here the Sadhu Ram grumbled over the action of the inspector. To this Ram Das said, "Brother, we cannot travel all along to Ram Sharam by train. Pilgrimages should be made on foot. But somehow Ram was kind enough to take us on the train so far. We have only to walk a distance of 6 miles in the order to reach Ramashram. It is the will of Ram that this distance should be covered on foot. Be cheerful, brother." They started to walk. When they traveled over 2 miles, Ram brought them in touch with a barber. Till then, since he had started from Mangalore, Ram Das had not had a shave. So here he got his beard, mustache, and head all shaved after the manner of sannyas. As they were nearing Ram Sharashram, they came to a tank by the roadside named Lakshman Kund. After bathing in this tank, they passed by a number of small tanks bearing different names. At last, Ram directed their steps to the famous temple of Ramashwaram. I think I might have gotten it right that time. The temple is a gigantic structure. One actually loses oneself in the bewildering passages, corridors, and aisles that lead to the places of worship. When the sadhus approached the Holy of Holies, they found the door open. The worship of Rameshwar was going on in all the ceremonial eclat. O Ram, all glory to thee. The occasion and the place set thrills of joy into Ram Das's soul. Here Ram Dass came in touch with some Mahatmas who had come there on pilgrimage, of whom one, Swami Govindananda, was very kind to him. The Swami said that he belonged to the mutt of Sri Siddharat, Swami of Hubli, and offered an invitation to Ram Dass to attend the Shiva Ratri festival in Hubli Mutt, which was then shortly to take place. At the end of chapter 5. And then from Swami Muktananda. Hari Om, chapter 5. Hari Om, everyone. Those of you who know Swami Muktananda can hear it in his voice. Now we move to Ramaswaram. Transforming a seemingly negative situation into a positive. We have already shared our experiences in Anand. There we have seen how to convert, how to transform a seemingly negative situation into a positive. Only 6 miles, do you remember? 6 miles I have to walk, someone says. Then another person says, only 6 miles. What a difference it makes. When someone comes and shouts, there is a big problem. We have umpteen number of experiences like this in the ashram, where our Papa Swamiji, our Puja Swamiji, how he coolly received such reactions. This is Swami Muktananda talking about Swami Satchitananda. There was no serious problems for him. Only our head stops that it is a serious problem. Swamiji would respond saying, oh ho! The moment he said, oh ho, our weight is half gone, the mental pressure reduces, and then do it, whatever needs to be done. For every lock, there is a key. For every problem, there is a solution. Not in the way in which we want to solve it, but there is always a way which everything can be solved or ignored or gone through. Possess money, but do not be possessed by it. This is point number 2. Another aspect is that whatever you and I say, we will be hearing lectures, we will be doing this and that. We all need money. However, Papa says, if you carry money, you carry problems. So how can I reconcile with that? I don't want to take in lakhs, which is millions, but I want something for my barest requirements. Is it a crime? No, not at all. That stage Papa could reach after pervading, sustaining, patient training. We must also train ourselves. Money is needed. Money is not to be looked down on. In fact, in ashram, we handle money. When we came to ashram, we were thinking that we will not be touching money. Then we saw Swamiji handling money. Then when Swamiji asked us to handle money, we said, Swamiji, we have not come here to handle money. We have decided. That was our intention. Swamiji said, I also had the same intention. But here the difference is there. He made it clear, it is not our money. It is God's money. God makes us to receive it, and God makes us to spend it. That's all. Previously, it was our earning, and we were spending it, and we were saving it. So this is the difference. So when Papa says money is the root of all trouble, or that money always distracts our attention, we should know that it happens only when the possessiveness is there. By thinking about others' problems, others' needs, etc., we will be able to reduce our necessities to a bare minimum. Therefore, we will reduce the quantum and retain only what is necessary. Doing this is necessary. We remember when camps for children were going in to a place like Jabalpur. When a boy was given 2 sets of dresses, he immediately shared 1 dress with another boy. The person who was distributing thought he, this boy, was not having sufficient quantity of dresses. So instead of giving one, he gave two, but the boy only kept one. He, this boy, teaches us how to be content with the barest requirement. He was able to identify a person who was not having even that much. So this thought should come to us. It is only by samskara that it can come. That means identifying ourselves with others' needs. Then my needs become less and less. When I start thinking about others, others' problems, others' necessities, then I will naturally reduce my necessities. It is not a forced discipline. If I force myself, it will rebound. But suppose I rationalize the whole thing and get convinced about it. I will be satisfied with what is offered me. When something is offered to us more than what we require, we will coolly share it with others. Probably not to wound the donor, the person who has given. He may have some sentiments. Silently, we can give it to the needy. So the message is, bring it the necessities down to the bare minimum. And then the last point, develop equanimity by never reacting immediately. I'm going to read this one again because it's one that we all need. Develop equanimity by never reacting immediately. Yes, equanimity, that is another message. We don't lose our balance. When will we not lose our balance? Only when I know it is God's will. It is God's will. Until I reach that stage, how will I develop this equanimity? Be patient and don't react immediately. The moment you give a pause, we will try to settle down. When there are ripples on the surface of water, allow it to settle down for some time. It will settle down. Otherwise, the reflection you will be seeing will always be changing. So allow it to settle down and never react immediately. We try, we may fail. The moment we say we will do it, don't think we will be all successful in that. We may fail, we may forget, we are trying. We are trying, we are trying. So out of 10 or 15 at least, once we may be able to do it. One only can become two, and two only can become three. Hari Om. Hari Om. This book, the dangerous part is really at the beginning of this fourth chapter. It's where Papa really grabs us, which is the thrill of a new birth, a new life with the sweet love of Ram was felt. A peace came over Ram Dass's struggling soul. The turmoil ceased. Ram's own hand seemed to have touched the head of a slave. Ram blessed. Oh, tears flow out of the mere joy of a deliverance. Sorrow, pain, anxiety, and care all vanish, never to return. All glory to thee, Ram. The great blessing came from Ram. I take thee under my guidance and protection. Remain ever my devotee. The name shall be Ram Dass. What is not to want in that statement? And that's when we talk about surrender and freedom being the same thing. That's that moment in this story of Papa. When he surrendered completely to God's will, he became completely free. Free of everything that we want to be free of. And given everything that we need. To go from struggling and everything in life is difficult to being like you've hit the lottery when someone puts the equivalent of a quarter of a penny in your jar, and knowing that God has reached to that person to feed you that day, and knowing that God has his finger on the pulse of your life and to feel the joy in that, to feel the freedom in that. And Papa achieved this by God remembrance and using the mantra of Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. And if you're feeling like you're struggling, if you feel like you're not connecting to that infinite power, to just start to inject that in your day, the mantra, Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. And to find reminders as you go through the day. Some of the tricks that I've used in the past are things like anytime I'm stopped at a stop sign in a line, those times when we just are held up, instead of popping your phone open, just bring your mind to God and chant Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Just for you and God to hear. When you notice there's a little ache in your body, think of it as God giving you a little pinch, waking you up, making you remember him. And chant Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. When something beautiful comes before you, think about the fact that God painted that image just for you in that moment. You're the only person seeing that exactly like that in the entire universe, in the entirety of time and space. God has created that image just for you. And think, Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. And when there's chaos and there's upset, remember that this is all just a passing dream. And that underneath it all, there's only unity. And remind yourself, Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. And when you catch yourself misbehaving, doing something that you wished you hadn't, or feeling a feeling that doesn't mesh with how you see yourself in God, call on God to remind you of who you truly are with the words Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Okay, do you have another Ram Nam you would like to share?
I can do. I'll think. I have a couple of other reminder things.
Anybody who wants to share that.
I remember listening to that particular lesson that Swamiji gave about this particular chapter, and I don't remember whether it was then, it must have been another time, when he said the whole discussion of equanimity and not immediately reacting, and yes, that's the thing I have struggled with all my life. So I think he said, Mataji said, when something comes at you and you're about to react, do Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram before you say anything. It's amazing how things will change. Yeah. How something different might come out of your mouth afterwards. And then I have a funny one when I was going into town in a little auto rickshaw with a couple of ladies I didn't know, and a couple of things happen that can often happen when you're on the road in India. So the driver had to pull up very short a couple of times, and they both in unison said, "Om Shri Ram Jai Jai Ram." So it was a way of dealing with being scared too.
Perfect. Does anybody else have those kinds of things that they'd like to share? Surprising how our ideas can really bloom for other people. Okay, Kate.
Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Om Shri 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 Ram Jai Ram Jai Ram Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Ram
Larry, when you're ready. Larry.
Please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father.
Oh, Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
Of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence
are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss. Of my communion with thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am he. Peace, bliss. Amen.
Amen.
God, so sweet. Comes from all of our lights coming together like this. Two or more are gathered in this name. Hari Om.
Hari Om.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you, Papa and David. Swamiji. Larry. Kate. My friends is a theater director, and her words have come to me about this class, and one is that the writers spend a long time getting their words right, and so the actors need to say them correctly. And I thought, there's nothing I can speak that's more powerful or more important than what these great masters have left in writing for us. And, power that emanates from them. The very, very back. Good night, all.